We are looking this morning into the 12th chapter of Mark's Gospel. So let me ask you to turn there, Mark chapter 12. Jesus is in a discussion with a number of groups there. They have asked him questions. He has answered them. And then we find out there's been a young man standing there listening to this discussion back and forth between Jesus and these various groups. And then he, impressed with Jesus' answers, has a question of his own. He wants to know what is the greatest commandment. He wants to know what is most important. So I want you to look at it, please. Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. Jesus said, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind and with all of your strength." Brethren, what Jesus is speaking of here, as clearly as anything can be spoken, Jesus is saying that we must have a passion for God. Now, passion is what energizes life. Passion is what makes the impossible possible. Passion is what causes us to rise up and to get about what we do. But in our passion for God, it is our passion for God that causes us to live above the vile world of which we are a part of. It is our passion for God that causes us to love Him with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our mind and with all of our strength. Now, this is an amazing thing. It is amazing that in America, it is okay to have a passion about anything except God. Listen, people can be passionate about any sinful, silly, useless thing in the world, and they are heard and they are accepted, but if you want to clear out a room, brag on God for a minute. So this morning, I want to speak on the subject, a passion for God. And we're going to go about this subject by me asking three questions. Question number one is this: what does it mean to be passionate for God? And in other words, what does it mean to have a passion for God? Now, let's get this out of the way and then we can move on. There is a difference between having a relationship with God and having a passion for God. It is one thing to carry on a Sunday morning thing with God, but it is a whole different creature to have a passion for God. So this morning, I'm not talking about just some little general relationship, but what does it mean to be passionate for God? Well, let's look what Jesus said. First of all, Jesus said that we must love God with all of our heart. All of our heart. Now understand the word heart there. Heart is what houses our emotions. Heart is what houses our desires and our affections and our passions. So to love God with all of your heart means to love Him more than any other being or any other thing. To love God with all of your heart means to fix your affections supremely on Him. Now, that's the definition. But a lot of times, a definition still doesn't help us unless we can illustrate it. So let me illustrate this loving with all the heart. Now don't turn to it. Let me quote it to you, but you can write it down if you want to. In Psalm 42 and verse 1, the psalmist says, O Lord, as a deer panteth for a flowing stream, O Lord, I pant for You. Now listen, is your heart thirsty for God? Does your heart crave God? I'm talking about, does your heart crave God like a deer in the wild craves a flowing stream from which he may gain water? Let's do it like this. What does your heart pant for? Money? Things? Popularity? What? What does it mean to be passionate? Passionate about God? It means to love Him with all of your heart. But what does that mean? It means that we have fixed our emotions. We have fixed our affections supremely upon God, and God stands where no one else does with me. Amen. Now, what does it mean to have a passion for God? Second, Jesus says that you must love God with all of your soul. All of your soul. The word soul there means breath. The word soul there means life. So what does that mean? It means that loving God with all of your soul speaks to one. It speaks to one who is willing to go the distance with God regardless of where that takes him. You got it? Now again, that's the definition, but let's illustrate it. When the Apostle Paul came to the end of his life, now when I say the end of his life, I mean like a few days and at most a few weeks before he died, before he was executed. The Apostle Paul penned the book of 2 Timothy. And some of his last words just before he was executed in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, the Apostle Paul said at the end of his life, he said, I have fought the good fight. He said, I have finished my course. He said, I have kept the faith. Brethren, coming to the end and being able to say, I have fought the fight, I have finished the race, I have kept my faith, that is loving God with your soul. Loving God with your soul means that you are willing to endure whatever has to be endured so that God remains honored in your life. And what that means is that loving God with all of our soul, a lot of it has to do with dying to ourselves. Do you know most of the time my biggest problem is me? See, she knows me well. And sometimes your biggest problem is you. And sometimes the person that I have the hardest time saying no to is me. So in Ephesians 4 and in verse 22, Paul says we got to die to the old man of sin. Well, what does that mean? That means I'm saying no to the old man. And then in verse 24 of Ephesians 4, Paul says that we have this new man that's in Christ. Listen to me. Loving God with all of your soul is about dying to self and saying yes to God. When we choose to encourage rather than to criticize, we are dying to self. When we choose to turn loose of an addiction, whether it is alcohol, whether it is drugs, whether it is gossip, whether it is pornography, wherever it is some kind of twisted sexual thing, whatever it is, when we give up, when we choose to say no to that addiction, then we are choosing to say no to ourselves. When we choose to get up and to attend the assembly on Sunday rather than sleeping in, we are choosing to say no to self. And choosing to say no to self is all about me loving God with my soul. What does it mean to be passionate for God? I'm not talking about just some little relationship that doesn't mean something. I mean passion. It means loving with your heart. My emotions, my affections are supremely fixed on Him. What does it mean? It means loving with my soul. It means that I'm willing to endure whatever it is I need to endure so that God is honored in my life. And if I have this loving passion for God, then I'm going to go the distance with God wherever that's going to take me. What does it mean to be passionate for God? The third thing that Jesus says is that we have to love God with all of our mind. With all of our mind. Now, I want you to follow this carefully. Your mind here is your understanding. It is your intellect. Now this is crucial because we fail to make this connection, but I want you to make this connection right now. To love God with all of my mind means that I love this book more than any decision I'm going to come up with in my own mind. Do you see the connection? I'm loving God with all of my mind. You say, well, what has that got to do with this? What that has got to do with this is that the Bible, every word of it is from God. This is God's message to me. And if I'm going to love God with all my intellect, then I've got to know what God wants me to know. And what He wants me to know is revealed in here. So loving God with all of my mind means that I'm going to love the decisions that this book comes up with more than the decisions that I come up with in my own mind that are contrary to what this says. Woo! I hope you got that. Because the Lord knows I sure couldn't repeat it. Now, have you made that kind of determination in your own mind? Look, we don't get this, but we're going to get this right now. The power of our mind, the determination that we have in our mind is a powerful thing. It's powerful. Listen, a passion in your mind. This is the reason that Thomas Edison could keep trying to invent a light bulb even though he failed to do it more than 2,000 times. This passion of the mind, this determination of the mind is the reason why Henry Ford kept going with an automobile even though he went bankrupt 3 different times. This passion of the mind is the reason why Abraham Lincoln kept pressing himself into politics even though he failed over and over and over and over again. Brethren, can you imagine the passion in these men's minds? Now, when we take the passion of our mind and put it into this book, that's when we love God with all of our minds. What does it mean to have a passion for God? It means that I love Him with my emotions supremely. It means that I love Him with all of my soul, that whatever must be endured or happen is going to happen, but it's going to happen with God. And whatever alley I end up with, I'm all right with that alley. To have a passion for God means I love Him with all my mind. And that when His Word is going one way and my mind is headed the other way, I must understand my mind is going in the wrong direction. What does it mean to have a passion for God? The last thing that Jesus says is that you must love Him with all of your strength. Strength there has to do with your effort and your energy. Are you listening? Don't wander off from me now. We've come way too far for us to be wandering off here. Stay with me. To love God with all of my energy, with all of my strength, means that the dominance of my time, my talent, my treasure, and my energy must focus on God. That's what that means. Now, let me put this together, and then we're going to take another step. But let me put this together. When Jesus was asked, what is most important? Jesus said, you will love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. What does that mean? That means that I must love God with my emotions. I must love God with my actions. I must love God with my thoughts. And I must love God with my energy. Are you with me so far? Now, here's what I want you to understand. There are scholars who believe, and I am in this school of thought, and if you're not in this school of thought, that's okay. We can both go to heaven anyway. But there are scholars who believe, and I believe, that when Jesus made that statement about loving God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, that his point was not to make a sharp distinction between those terms. But when he made that statement, he was making that statement as a collection of things, and that what Jesus was saying is that the greatest thing in the world is that you have to love God with all of your being. In other words, my heart, my soul, my mind, and my strength, it isn't so much to separate all of that out as it is to understand what those things are, and that when you put them together, those four things represent my entire being, and that is what I must have a passion for God with. So that's what it means to be passionate for God. Question number two. Question number two. What is it that will inhibit my passion for God? Now, I was raised in St. Gina Jefferson, and nobody at St. Gina Jefferson ever used the word inhibit. So let me give you another word. What does it mean to kill our passion for God? Now, that was a word we did use. What does it mean to inhibit or to hold back or to destroy our passion for God? You understand what I'm asking? And in other words, I want to have this passion for God. This is what I want, but what are the things that will stop that, that will destroy that? The first thing that will inhibit your passion for God is unconfessed sin. Unconfessed sin. Psalm 51 is David's Psalm of repentance. He has dealt with Bathsheba. He has set up Bathsheba's husband Uriah to be killed. There's a lot of things involved that David has done. And now David has come to repentance. And in Psalm 51 and in verse 4, in his Psalm of repentance, David says to God, he says, God, against you and you only have I sinned. Now, brethren, listen to me. Every sin we commit breaks the heart of God. Every sin we commit hurts God. Every sin. And if you say you have a loving passion for God, but you're holding on to some sin, then I am saying to you that your passion isn't for God, your passion is for that sin. Because that sin is trumping God. It doesn't matter how bad or how much I want this passion for God. If I have unconfessed, if I have sin, and if I'm holding on to it, that kills my passion for God. A second thing that inhibits our passion for God, not only is unconfessed sin, but secondly, an unforgiving heart. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 14 and 15, he says, if you will forgive men when they sin against you, then God will forgive you when you sin against Him. But if you do not forgive men when they sin against you, then God is not going to forgive you. I just don't know how it can be said plainer than that. A loving passion for God and holding a grudge cannot reside in the same heart. It just can't. I want to have a passion for God, but unconfessed sin will stop it. I want to have a passion for God, but an unforgiving heart will stop that. You say, but you don't know what he did to me. Yeah, and if you hold on to it, you don't know what it's going to do to you. The third thing that inhibits our passion for God is an undernourished spirit. You see, there is an outer you, and there's an inner you, your spirit. And if that inner you goes without Bible study, if it goes without prayer, if it goes without assembling with the saints, then what you are doing is you are starving that inner man, and when you starve that, you are killing your passion for God. If we fed our physical selves like we fed our spiritual selves, some of us would come in here on Sunday awful ploony. Ploony is Greek for you'd be all dried up. You understand? So what does it mean to have a passion for God? My whole being is to God. Well, what will stop that? What will stop it is holding on to sin, holding on to grudges, and ignoring my spirit, my inner man. Question number three. We're done. Question three. How do we express our passion for God? In other words, how do we let this passion out? How do I release this passion? How do I do that? Number one, I have right priorities. I have right priorities. Seek first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6:33. Brethren, listen to me. God will have no rivals. God will have no rivals. No man can serve two masters. What does that mean? What that means is that two things can't be first. If I want to express this passion, then I got to let the main thing be the main thing, and the main thing is God. The second way I express this is through obedience. If you love me, you will obey me. That's what Jesus said, John 14:15. If I have a passion for God, I'm going to do first what I ought to do first, and I'm going to obey God. Brother, look. God Almighty uses the thermometer of obedience to test the temperature of our love. It's not how high you can jump, it's how well you live when you hit the ground. So I got to have right priority to express this passion. I've got to obey if I'm going to express this passion. And finally, if I'm going to let loose this passion for God, I got to love other people. I have to love other people. When Jesus said, this is the greatest commandment, Mark 12:30, his next statement is that the second greatest thing is like the first one, and that's what? Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20, if a man says, I love God, but hates his brother, he is a liar. How can you say that you hate your brother who you're looking at, but that you love God whom you have never seen? If I say I have a passionate love for God, but I hate Him, I'm lying to myself. I'm lying to myself. Now, this is me. This is me, and this, you do what you want to do, but I want everybody to understand what I'm going to do. My goal is heaven. My road is narrow. My way is rough. But my vision is clear. It's clear. Therefore, I'm not going to give up. And I'm not going to let up. And Lord knows I'm not going to shut up. I'm not. You can drag me down from here and drag me out of here, and a lot of times I deserve that, but listen, I'm going on. So this morning, I challenge you, I beg you who are not Christians to demonstrate your passion for God. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Demonstrate your passion for God. And I challenge and I plead with those who are Christians to increase your passion for God. Increase your passion for God. All of our affections, our actions, our thoughts, and our energy, we do the best we can do, and God's grace will pick up the slack. So if you're not a Christian, demonstrate that passion. If you're holding on to sin, if you're holding on to some grudge with somebody, listen, they're not worth it. And you're too big for this now. Grow up and get over it. This morning, if you're here, if you need to come, God give you the grace to do that very thing right now as together we stand and as we sing.